This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley for the last weekend in August.
Yeah.
It's gone now, which is good.
Too fast.
It's football season.
Yes, that's true. I'm ready for some football foods like soups and that kind of snacks.
Do you have friends over on football days?
Usually we go to our friends because they have NFL ticket, but now we have it, so we'll probably take turns kind of going back and forth. So it'll be kind of nice to actually stay at home on a Sunday because I don't know what that's been like the past, 3 years football season.
It's kind of like the knothole gang over at your place.
Yeah, pretty much. There will be, yeah.
Instead of everybody gathering outside the fence trying to get a peek through the hole, everybody's kind of gathering over there to take a look at the TV. Hey, you do what you got to do to make it happen. Make it happen. Well, everybody, high school football getting underway this week for a lot of the area schools. And most of those who didn't have an opening game last week, which were very few, opening up here this last weekend, this last Friday night. So everybody's in football mode now.
Yeah.
So it must be time for fall. And we've gone, so it seems like we've gone through the entire summer and not gotten any rain.
Unfortunately, yeah.
We'll probably get it all fall.
I'd rather have it all fall than all snow in the winter.
You know, I keep hearing people say that.
Though. I know. It's making me nervous.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the disaster in us all, but I keep hearing people saying, I bet we're going to have one whale
it's
of a
be
winter.
The worst winter and,
Yeah, it's going to be cold. We're going to have tons of snow.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing is a lot of snow. I'm just like, you be quiet. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, don't think those are based on a scientific projections
or anything.
You can't
exactly predict the future.
I think it's mostly based on, we're just going to get it.
Yeah, whether we like it or not.
Sometimes we have that British attitude, oh, yeah, it's great now, but it's going to rain later, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
They always have that dull, disaster.
Oh, it's great now,
happen.
But down the road.
What's around the corner attitude. We'll see what happens. Well, who knows? Kids are all back in school now. That's kind of a good thing.
Yeah, you can definitely tell more traffic on the road going to work.
Well, at two times a day, you can tell there's more traffic.
Yeah.
But during the balance of the day,
mm-hmm.
it's actually kind of nice out. You can drive now and not have to worry about all those other things going
mm-hmm.
on. But, with kids back in school, though, too, I don't know how difficult it was for you. You were relatively active in school. You played some sports, did some things, right?
Yep, sure did.
So, time management, always kind of an important thing. And I know that's one thing that we always struggled with, especially early in the school year. And that's really kind of the important part of the school year. Because if you fall into bad habits in the first couple of weeks, it's pretty hard to dig your way out.
Yeah.
It's real easy just to get lazy and sit back
mm-hmm.
and, fall in. So, it's really important to get those time management things down early because so many of these kids are so busy.
Yeah.
I mean, in addition to school, some of them are taking online courses, college-level stuff. They might be in music. They might be in all kinds of different clubs and organizations, 4-H.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, athletics and things. I mean, it's just crazy how much that they can be involved with all at once. And we sometimes joke about how, gee whiz, you need to learn how to juggle before you can go to school. Because that's all you do is kind of juggle your schedule a lot. But yeah, it's really difficult to find those times when you can have kind of some consistency. And that's really what a lot of the time management experts will talk about is the consistency. You need to set up some sort of a schedule. If you're going to set up a time to study, it should be at the same time all the time.
Right.
That's almost impossible anymore.
It can be, yeah.
I mean, work schedules, that's the other thing. Kids work, too. So that's something we didn't really have to deal with a whole lot when we were in school. But, with work schedules fluctuating and their athletic schedules and things, and, I mean, with everything going on, it's about impossible to say, I'm going to study every day at 3:30 as soon as I get home
Good
for
luck
1 hour.
That, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, there are different – I was looking through, and the University of Minnesota Duluth has a time management handbook. And one of the things in there is time management principles for students. Now, it's not necessarily that different from other time management principles that are based on, people's lives, work, things like that. But, you need to kind of come up with some ideas and stick to them. And they talk about identifying the best time for studying. Everyone has high and low periods of attention and concentration.
Mm-hmm.
You too. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, right before bed. Try and get some last-minute cramming in. Yeah, you just end up falling asleep.
It
doesn't work.
It doesn't work very well. But, some people are morning people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are night people. They just function better at different times of the day. So they suggest that you use your power times to study and use the down times. You know, if you're a morning person, use that morning time to do the studying and things, and then use the night times, the down times, for things like their routine, like errands or maybe doing laundry, things like that, you know, different things that you might come up into. Study the difficult subjects first. And this goes for college students as well as kids in high school, too. But study the difficult things first, because when you're fresh, you can process the information more quickly. And you can save time that way as a result, too. If you got something that you seem to grasp a little better, save that for a second. They say use distributed learning and practice. What they suggest is study in shorter time blocks with short breaks in between. So refresh yourself. Keeps you from getting fatigued and really wasting time.
Yeah.
This type of studying can be efficient because while you're taking a break, your brain is actually still processing the information. You know, you don't just shut it down.
No.
Brain's not like a car. You can't just shove it just to park it off, and it stops. It doesn't work that way. It's always running. Also, make sure your surroundings are conducive to studying. Wow, that's a biggie. Especially for college students.
Yeah.
Because your surroundings usually are not conducive to studying. Especially if the door in your dormitory is always open, which is usually the case for a lot of folks. But it'll allow you to kind of reduce some of those distractions because you can waste a lot of time. And if there are times in the residence halls or maybe in an apartment where you know there'll be noise and commotion, maybe you want to use that time for some mindless tasks instead of actually studying. Also, make room for entertainment and relaxation, because whether it's college or it's high school or what have you, you know, you need to have a social life. You know, that stuff's all more than just studying. School should also be a social thing, too. But you also have to have a balance in your life, too. And so many people will talk about, especially when you're at home in high school, is to make sure the student sets up some place to study. If they have a desk in their room, someplace quiet, preferably no TV, you know, those types of things. And I realize they kind of need to be connected to the computers these days to do their homework and things, but make sure they're using the computer for productive means, not other things. Also, make sure you have time to eat and sleep properly, because sleep is often an activity that students use as their time management bank. You know, when they need a few extra hours for studying or socializing, they usually withdraw a few hours of sleep to make up for it.
I did that a few times.
Oh, I think we've all, I can remember many times taking no-dos and stuff like that, you know, in college just to keep awake longer. And you're really not helping yourself doing that.
No.
But, you know, doing that makes the time that they spend studying less effective, because they'll need a couple of hours of clock time to get an hour of productive time. So it's not a good way to manage yourself in relation to the time that you have. So use the normal waking time. And also you can try to combine activities. They talk about using what they call a twofer concept. If you're spending time at the laundromat, bring your psychology notes along to study, you know. Yeah. If you're in college and you have to do those kinds of things, take care of those things, you know, do it when you can. You know, if you're waiting in line for tickets to a concert, bring your biology flashcards along. Memorize those, you know, do whatever you have to do. And those are just some things you can do to kind of get yourself started with time management principles. But boy, it's never easy. And I think it's getting harder and harder for students to figure out the time, you know, when they need that time, when they can find that time, and make it productive time as well. Difficult to do. So, yeah, make sure they get off on the right start. Even young children, too. We talk about high school, college-age students, but young students, you know, they've got homework, too.
Yeah.
And if you can get them started at a young age, hopefully with those good habits, then they will carry through the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Boy, it's hard to get kids back to attention again the first part of school,
isn't it? Surely not.
Yeah.
Can only imagine.
Yeah. We were always attentive that first day. Mm-hmm. What? Homework? Are you kidding? It's the first
worst
day.
Teacher ever.
That's right. Get used
so
to
mean.
It. It doesn't get any better. And a lot of schools, you know, they'll wait for the testing on the last. We always took tests the very last day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're a little kid, you know, when you're in like first and second grade, the last day was usually cleanup day.
Yeah.
You know, clean out your desk, get everything packed away so you can take it home. Don't leave anything behind. We'd have to scrub down our desks, every single inch of the desk. You know, scrub down the walls and the chalkboards. And, you know, we'd do all that stuff. And, you know, you get a dirty look from the teacher when the first smart aleck in the back of the room says, "Don't we have janitors for this?" you just earned yourself chalkboard duty, pal.
Congratulations.
You know, you have to... have to take care of all those things. That was when you were young. But then all of a sudden you hit, you know, a certain grade. It might have been fourth grade or fifth grade or what have you. It's not like that anymore. No more playtime. You start working the first day of school. It's not setup day and then take down day, the first and last. Now it's work day.
Chapter one starts.
That's right. It's work day.
Open your books.
And there'll be homework, so pay attention. Well, we hope everybody's enjoying the back to school time right now. Still some things going on here in the Nishna Valley, though, and I know you've got quite a good list of things here.
Well, coming up on Sunday, the Audubon County Saddle Club T-Bone Horse Show. It's at the fairgrounds, and that's on Sunday, August 26th, and that starts at 9:30. The Blue Tones, they're performing at Music on the Lawn at the Hitchcock House. That's on Sunday, August 26th, and they'll be performing from 2 to 4. Just bring your own lawn chairs, and in case of rain, it will be held in the Big Red Barn. That's the Blue Tones at the Hitchcock House on Sunday, August 26th from 2 to 4. There's Simon Estes tickets available. That's coming up on September 30th at 4. It's at the Audubon High School Gym. Tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for ages 18 and under. And it's sponsored by the ACHF and others in celebration of Audubon County Memorial Hospital's 60th anniversary. You can get your tickets available in Atlantic here at KJAN, in Audubon at ACMH Business Office, ACH Foundation Office, Audubon State Bank and Landman's Bank, and in Elkhorn, they're available at the Danish Windmill and the Elkhorn Pharmacy, in Exira at the Exchange State Bank and Exira Medical Clinic, and in Kimmelton at Landman's Bank, and also in Manning at the Manning Insurance Agency. The Cass County Conservation Board, they're holding a free Mysterious Monarchs program at the main campground at Lake Anita at the State Park on August 31st. That's at 4 p.m. You can discover the monarch butterflies before their journey south and also show you how to tag monarchs. If you'd like a home tagging kit, you must attend and pre-register for the kit. And to pre-register for that kit, you can call 769-2372. And you don't have to be a registered camper to attend this program. Again, that's the free Mysterious Monarchs program at the main campground at Lake Anita State Park on August 31st at 4. The Grant Community Preservationist will host its second annual Labor Day Country Music Festival. That's on Monday, September 3rd at the Grant Park Opry. Entertainment will begin at 2 with a $5 gate fee for all persons 12 and over, and children 12 and under are free. If you're a musician, you're interested in playing, you can contact Jim Wymore at 712-621-8026. In addition to the entertainment, GCP will have a food stand serving hot dogs and Polish sausages, chips, cookies and bars, strawberry or root beer floats, and soda. They also have coffee, iced tea, and water will be available free of charge. Attendees should bring your own lawn chair, and proceeds will go to support GCP's work to maintain the Grant Park and to restore the lodge. And in case of rain, it will be held on September 8th. The Lewistown and Country Boosters and the Pancake Man will be in Lewis at the Community Center on September 3rd. That is from 7:30 to 10:30. And they'll be serving pancakes and sausage with juice and coffee, and that is for a free will donation. It's the Lewistown and Country Boosters and the Pancake Man on September 3rd at the Lewis Community Center. And that's from 7:30 to 10:30. Coming up also in September is a Red Cross blood drive that will be held in Atlantic. That's on Wednesday, September 5th. And they'll be doing that from 11 to 4 at Molly. That's West Highway 83, Atlantic. It's a Red Cross blood drive at Molly in Atlantic on September 5th from 11 to 4. Another free Mysterious Monarchs program will be held on September 7th. This one will be held at the Cold Springs Park in Lewis. That's at 7. And also at the Camlin Addition Shelter at Sunnyside Park in Atlantic on September 8th. And that's at 2. Again, you can discover the monarch butterflies before their journey south. If you want that home tagging kit, the number again is 769-2372. So that's the Mysterious Monarchs program on September 7th at Cold Springs Park in Lewis. And as at 7, and also at the Camlin Addition Shelter at Sunnyside Park in Atlantic on September 8th, and that is at 2 p.m. The Guthrie County Extension and Outreach Office, they're celebrating the annual Cyhawk football game with a tailgate party. That's on September 7th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They're serving free hot dogs and water, so you can come out and help cheer on your favorite Iowa team. This is Iowa's biggest rivalry and a day Iowa football fans wait for all year, so you can go and help them tailgate. Again, that's on Friday, September 7th from 11 to 2. Hunter Safety Education Online Field Day, that's coming up September 8th from 8 a.m. to noon. That's at the Nishna Bend Recreation Area, just about a mile and a half southeast of the Harlan Municipal Airport. If you're born after January 1st, 1972, you must complete a hunter safety education course in order to obtain an Iowa hunting license. You can also go to iowadnr.gov/training to get signed up. And you do have to register for this field day online at the website. And you must complete online class before coming to the field day. And you must bring your online completion voucher to be admitted. If you have any questions, you can call 712-579-3032. T-Bone Golf Tournament, that's coming up September 9th. That's at the Golf and Country Club at 8 a.m. at 1 p.m. There's another hunter safety education. This will be held, though, on September 11th, 13th from 6 to 9 p.m. and on Saturday morning. You'll need to get your book at the Iowa Western Community College front office and complete the chapter quizzes before class time and attend all three live firing classes. Or if you do have access to a computer, you can go to that DNR website and find the tab for hunter education and complete the chapter tests and bring those to class. And then you don't need to attend, then you just need to attend the Tuesday class except to register. And on Thursday, you must attend lecture regarding laws. And then, of course, the live firing Saturday morning. Another Red Cross blood drive in September on the 12th. That's in Elkhorn. That's from 11:30 to 5:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. A Staley's Chicken Fundraiser Dinner will be held on September 13th. That's from 5 to 8 at the Kimbleton Fire Hall. The proceeds from this will go to help rebuild the Kimbleton Town Hall. Tickets are $10 in advance, or they're $11 at the door, and $5 for kids under 10 and kids 4 and under are free. You can also get tickets at Landman's Bank and the Kimbleton City Clerk. So that's the Staley's Chicken Fundraiser Dinner on September 13th from 5 to 8 at the Kimbleton Fire Hall. Some more Red Cross blood drives coming up on the 13th again. It's an Exira from noon to 6 at the Exira Recreation Center, and then also in Atlantic at the Atlantic Catholic Parish Center. That's again on September 13th from 12 to 6 also.
That's a lot of stuff.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Got some more things going on here in the area, too. This weekend, this Sunday, August 26th, the Iowa Aviation Museum's 20th annual Wings Fly-In and Drive-In is going to be held this Sunday, August 26th. That's at the Greenfield Airport. They'll have an omelet breakfast that'll be served from 7:30 until 11 a.m. $5 a person is the cost. Free admission to the museum until noon as well. That's the Iowa Aviation Museum's 20th annual Wings Fly-In and Drive-In at the Greenfield Airport this Sunday, August 26th, 7:30 to 11 a.m. For $5, they'll serve you an omelet breakfast. Pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Also coming up here not too far down the road, the Exira Lions will be serving pork burgers, Made Rights, hot dogs, chips, and bars at some upcoming volleyball games. It'll be held in Elkhorn, and that'll be August 27th and August 28th. That's this Monday and this Tuesday. The games get underway at 6 o'clock, so come on out and enjoy some good food and help out the Exira Lions and their cause. Also coming up, the Exira Masons annual Labor Day weekend breakfast will be held on Sunday, September 2nd. That'll be from 8:30 a.m. until 12:30 p.m. They'll hold that at the Brayton Town Hall. Pancakes, eggs, sausage, French toast, all you can eat for a free will donation. It's sponsored by the Exodus Lodge, number 342. Pancakes, eggs, sausage, French toast. Sounds like they pretty well got it all covered.
Mm-hmm.
All the good stuff.
All the good stuff. That's all you need.
You bet. That's at the Brayton Town Hall, Sunday, September 2nd, 8:30 until 12:30. Help out the Exira Masons there with their annual Labor Day weekend breakfast. Also coming up on September 9th, St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita will hold a chicken dinner at the church from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On the menu, in addition to chicken, includes mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, homemade salads, and desserts. So lots more coming up here, too. That's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday, September 9th, and that'll be held at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita. They hope you can come on out and support them there as well. And also, something coming up not too far down the road here. It's time to get your tickets, is what it is. We have tickets on sale now for a dinner theater. It's a whodunit kind of dinner theater sponsored by the Cass County Museum. This will be held on September 15th at 6 p.m. at the Griswold Community Building. Now, if you'd like to get your tickets, you can contact Lila Hogaveen, Shona Putnam. Tickets also going to be purchased at the museum, or you can find them at Petals and Pages. They have a whole bunch of cast members listed here, too. But it's, again, it's one of those whodunit dinner theater productions. So if you kind of like that, you're kind of almost in the production.
I've never been to something like that. I think that would be fun.
It's kind of an interesting thing to do, especially with some friends.
Yeah.
But that's help the Cass County Museum. Again, that dinner theater is September 15th, 6 p.m. at the Griswold Community Building. Make sure you get your tickets soon before they sell out. There's only so much room they can accommodate, I'm sure. So that's what's coming up here, not too far down the road here in the area. We'll take a short time out, and we'll have more for you here on our program right after this.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, back at it once again. I see you got a fistful of birthdays.
I know,
over there.
I do. We'll start over at the Friendship Home. We have two people sharing the same birthday. So happy birthday to Mark Gustafson and Katherine Heiken, both celebrating their birthday on August 27th. Okay, here we go. Happy birthday to Frank McMullen. He's celebrating his 80th birthday at the Messina Legion Building on August 26th, and that is from 2 to 4. They're asking for no gifts, please. Just your presence is his gift. So happy 80th birthday to Frank McMullen. They're celebrating his birthday at the Messina Legion Building on August 26th from 2 to 4. And again, no gifts, please. Happy birthday to Irene Riddle of Anita. She's celebrating her 90th birthday on August 28th, and you can send her a card to wish her happy birthday to 2760 340th Street in Anita, 50020. She'd like to hear from you. Again, happy birthday to Irene Riddle of Anita, celebrating her 90th birthday on August 28th, and you can send her a card to 2760 340th Street in Anita, 50020. The family of Helen Schoenbaum would like to honor her with a card shower for her 90th birthday. That's on August 30th. You can send her a card to 62799 690th Street in Wyota, 50274. Again, happy birthday to Helen Schoenbaum, celebrating her 90th birthday on August 30th. You can send her a card to 62799 690th Street. That's in Wyota, 50274. Happy 90th birthday to Glenn Gustafson, celebrating his birthday on August 30th. You can send him a card to 301 11th Street. That's in Adair, 50002. Again, happy birthday to Glenn Gustafson, celebrating his 90th birthday on August 30th. Another 90th birthday, happy birthday to Margaret Heater, celebrating her 90th birthday on August 31st. You can send her a card to 504 Guthrie Street, Apartment 1. That's in Adair again, 50002. Happy birthday to Margaret Heater, celebrating her 90th birthday on August 31st. The address is 504 Guthrie Street, Apartment 1 in Adair. The family of Larry Erickson is requesting a card shower in her honor for her 90th birthday on September 5th. You can send her a card to wish her happy birthday to 71384 680th Street in Cumberland, 50843. So happy birthday to Larry Erickson, celebrating her birthday, her 90th birthday on September 5th. And you can send her a card to 71384 680th Street in Cumberland, 50843.
Very good. I don't have any anniversaries, or for that matter, we don't have any new births to tell you about, so we'll just go ahead and
do
that.
I do have an anniversary.
You do?
Mine, August 28th.
Oh!
Yeah, so happy anniversary to me and Mike Linford, Stacy and Mike Linford.
Just wishing yourself a happy anniversary.
Why not, you know? Why not?
Hey, whatever works.
Yep.
Very good. Well, happy anniversary. It's like
Thank
your 23rd
much.
Or something?
It feels like it. That's what he'd say.
Yeah, something
he'd say,
like that.
It feels
that.
Like going on 10 or something.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's been an awful summer weather-wise. Let's just put it that way. The summer's obviously been very tough. It's been very dry. It's been very hot. Been very sunny, and it's not been conducive to growing a lawn, let alone growing crops this year. And we were all told that we should expect an early harvest this year. We're starting to see that now out there. Well, a lot of the power companies are also reminding folks about some of the issues out there, too. And with harvest season also brings a lot of risks. Grain handling, storage areas, augers, all these kinds of things. There are a lot of risks out there. So some safety tips with regard to some of that as well. Be aware of overhead power lines, because power lines are everywhere. So make sure you lower the augers to their transport level when they're near the power lines. And know the height of cultivators or planters that are in the fold-up position. You know, the equipment might actually be taller than it is when you're out in the field. So make sure that the auger system has a good ground connection as well. Also, if a tractor comes in contact with a power line, you want to remain seated until help arrives. If there's a danger of fire, jump as far away from the tractor as possible and keep your feet together when you land. You don't want to allow any part of your body to touch the equipment and the ground at the same time. Many injuries occur when equipment operators attempt to get back on or they touch the equipment after they've dismounted. Also, never attempt to raise or move a power line. And you want to watch for guy wires, too, which help to support those utility poles. Damaging a guy wire can weaken a pole and bring live power lines down, which would, of course, create a hazardous situation. Also, you don't want to erect any fence wire along the same route as an overhead line, and don't string fence wire where it might come into contact with an overhead line. Now, there are other issues, too, with electrical safety. You want to make sure all outlets are three-hole grounded outlets that have face plates on them, especially in some of those areas where you might not do a lot of maintenance normally. Install a lockout switch that can turn off all electricity from one area. If there are any doubts about the state of the electrical circuits, wiring, or equipment on a farm, you'd like to always have a licensed electrician inspect them. And ground the entire electrical system and protect the ground wires and the rods from any damage. And with regard to grain bins, boy, we hear so many accidents each and every year, and so many times they are 100% preventable. You know, with grain bin safety, it's necessary to be alert and be fully conscious of everything that's going on at all times. You know, if it's necessary to enter a grain bin, shut off and lock out the electricity before you enter. Use a safety harness and a safety line, and have people available outside the bin just in case there is an emergency. Of course, you want to know the National Electric Safety Code requirements for horizontal clearance between the side of a grain bin and any adjacent power lines, and the vertical clearance above the bin to the nearest line. You want to make sure the wiring on the property complies with all of those things, too. And before you construct or remodel a grain bin, you should contact your local electrical company to ensure that the electrical transformer is of adequate size as well. Now, if the farm equipment does come in contact with a utility line or any other piece of electrical equipment, you want to make sure you contact authorities immediately so that you can avoid any other issues there, too. Lots of things going on, and, you know, with harvest time, that means a lot of activity out there, not just in the fields, but also out on the roadways as well. You're going to run into a much more slow-moving vehicle traffic out there, so be aware of those kinds of things. You know, it's not just the producer, it's not just the farmer that we should be worried about, it's us as well. So, you know, if we're out there, make sure you're alert and aware of all those things. You're not supposed to be using your cell phones for texting or anything else electronic, with the exception of phone calls anyway, but it might be wise just to leave those down for that too these days, just because there's so many distractions out there, and as we know, it can only take just a real short second for a disaster to really happen. So be safe, be careful, and hopefully have a good harvest, at least a safe one. I don't know how great the harvest is going to be this year with all the stuff we've seen out there with the tough weather and things, but take it easy and make sure you get back each and every night safely.
Yes.
That's about all the time we have for you here on our program this weekend. Thanks for joining us. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfrew.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.